home for the NBA Finals, World Series, and college football's national championship. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. KFNC and KFNC HD2 Mont Bellevue, Houston. Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers.
They want to be down with the kids.
Live from Texas A&M's Bright Complex for a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
I love being around them.
Presented by Destination Brian. Go to DestinationBrian.com for your guide to football weekends in Aggieland. Now here's the kings of Houston sports radio, John Granato and Lance Erline.
Welcome in, everybody. Once a year, we get to do this, and it is an awesome day. I don't care if you're an Aggie fan, you're not an Aggie fan, whatever the case may be. We talk a lot of football and the Aggs right there at the top of the heap in college football. So this is going to be a fun day. Jimbo Fisher going to be joining us at 7:15 right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, your flagship station for the Aggs.
I was thinking about this, John. In all the years that we've done college football, I mean, we started it as R.C. Slocum was here. At Texas, it was Mack Brown had just been hired over there, right? So we've gone through different iterations of University of Houston, and they've had some good runs with different coaches.
Dana Dimmel, that one.
Except Dana Dimmel and Tony, the guy from Chick-fil-A.
Oh, yeah, Tony Fitzpatrick.
Yeah. No, not Fitzpatrick.
Oh, Chick-fil-A. Oh, yeah. Tony. I know him well.
The guy who owns Chick-fil-A now.
JT.
Yeah, now he owns a Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, right.
I know, I'm blanking out on his last name. But anyway, Levine.
Yeah, Levine.
There it is. Thank you. So anyway, as we're sitting here in the Bright Football Complex, I'm curious, when we've seen here with R.C. Slocum, obviously you had my coffee's not kicked in yet. Who is it that everyone got off?
Summy?
No, before Summy.
It'd be Summy.
Who?
Dennis Franchione.
Thank you, Alec. Dennis Franchione. That's not going to be one of the best times in Aggie football.
No.
But when you think about it, someone and then.
He did recruit Johnny.
R.C. Slocum.
No, that was Mike Sherman.
Yeah,
Sherman. Oh, Mike Sherman did.
No, Sherman had Sherman's recruiting classes.
Oh, that's
you look
right.
at the amount of pros Sherman produced. Yeah. It was unbelievable. It's kind of like when Mack Brown at Texas, the amount of guys that were recruited before him was a pretty unbelievable amount as well before he got there. But
Summy inherited a pretty good offensive line too, on top of Johnny.
A ton of pro players.
Yeah.
So anyway, now you look at Jimbo, and I'm just thinking, as we start the broadcast off, this is probably, in all the times that we've done football, this is the best time in Aggie football since we've been doing radio since 97. This is the best time. With Jimbo, what they built here at Texas A&M, what looks sustainable, not built on the back of one quarterback. And that's kind of what we found out with. I mean, Sumlin had stuff. There was positives, but it was kind of Johnny-centric that year. And then they weren't able to consistently build off of that.
Well, he had two pro quarterbacks right after him that transferred.
Yeah, well, one was the first pick of the draft.
Yeah.
and
the other one turned out to be a pretty good backup.
The other one
NFL.
Still plays in the league right now, which is, and he was a five-star who went to Houston, but didn't do that much at Houston either, frankly.
No.
But you look at what Jimbo's built, or what he's building, I should say, and you have something that I think is sustainable. I mean, it's built around the offensive and defensive fronts. You've got a running back trio that's really phenomenal this year. And he builds systems. He doesn't rely on a quarterback. You know what I mean? Like, this team, this offense didn't rely on Kellen Mond. It wasn't all, well, if Kellen Mond's not here, what are we going to do? You did get that feeling with Johnny. Johnny was a special player, a college football player. But you get the sense that this offense and this team can get it humming again without having to have Kellen Mond here. And so as we begin the broadcast, I'm always interested in team building and organization building. I think he has been able to create culture. It's what we talk about with the Texans all the time. Creating culture is a really, really big thing, so everyone knows what to expect and buy in, and I think he's doing just that.
Yeah, no, there's only a handful of guys who've won a national title that have that credibility, and I think, you know, bringing that here to Texas is really, You know, and let's face it, the Aggies, you can Longhorns, you can say what you want. The Aggies own the state right now. They are the premier program in this state. They've done it right with, you know, you get it, for Summey's faults and whatever happened here with Summey, he was instrumental in these facilities.
Yeah.
He pushed hard. He went through the painful building process, the renovation of the stadium, the complex here, all of this stuff, the locker room. Summey was the guy that oversaw it, and you can hate on him all you want, Ags, but Summey is instrumental in what is going on here.
Are you fighting with the Aggies right now? It feels like you're already in a fight with Aggies.
No, I'm not. I'm educating them. Okay.
It seems like, I don't know who you're talking to. You can hate on him all you want, Ags.
Well, you know, I mean, you know, Summey had his detractors here. And, you know, at the end, he said, you know, it was tough. It was tough being a coach here at the end.
The guy got three contracts in 4 years, okay?
No
one's crying poor for Kevin Sumlin. They renegotiated his contract multiple times. So, you know, that's tough, too.
Yeah.
When you've got massive buyouts.
No. I see that. You know what? The lasting longevity of what happened here under Summey, you're seeing today.
There's a lot of once you have the leverage, you push for certain things, and it certainly benefited the athletic program. There's no doubt about that.
No question. So we've got Jimbo going to be joining us at 7:15. Ross Bjork is going to join us at the top of the hour. Anaya Smith, Isaiah Spiller, Kenyon Green, Chase Lane,
the big boys.
Yeah, we're getting all Americans in here.
All Americans today.
Yeah. So it's going to be fun. And then Pat Henry, the A&M track, the legendary Hall of Fame track coach, is going to join us a little bit later in the show, too. So we've got all that going on, along with possibly Justin Moore, who's the deputy athletic director here now. Our guy, we knew him from the University of Houston, and now he's here. And he's moved up the charts. So we'll talk to him. And maybe more. So we got all kinds of stuff going on. Just got to mention here, the Astros with one of the great wins of the season.
I mean, stomping on one of the toughest teams in all of baseball, the Kansas City Royals. Just Luis Garcia just put a foot on their throat. And, you know, and that's what you have to do. You have to just really take those nuclear roaches and just grind them down to pulp, which is what Luis Garcia was able to do through
seven
innings.
You know, he had 90 pitches. He had 90 pitches, and he was in through 6 2/3. He had a runner on first base, and Dusty comes out. And I just went, but I get it. I get the long-term plan for him. This is the most innings he's pitched, the most he's thrown. You got to save him for the – listen, dude is – if he's not your two, he's your number three starter.
I think Dusty probably fights – listen, Dusty played baseball in the 70s and 80s. Dusty probably fights through, and I don't know when he came into the league, maybe late 60s, I don't know, but the 70s and 80s. Dusty is fighting through, I would imagine, I don't know this, but Dusty probably fights some of the same. He's probably, I know he's been around baseball a long, long time, even as a manager, but there's probably a part of Dusty that's old school that says, I mean, I'd like to just let Garcia go 120 pitches, whatever. I mean, he's... Let's just let him keep going, and let's see if
he's
can
the
go
opposite,
eight,
though.
Nine. But Dusty, I think, is following the process. The Astros' process is they knew going in, Luis Garcia, once he got rolling, they said, that's great, but at some point we got to buy him some rest, because whether it's a much more limited pitch count, because they're just not going to be in a position where their arms are dead at the end of the year. They don't want to do that.
No.
And I get it. I totally get it.
No, but there's the other side of the coin is that the bullpen is dead. So, I mean, Dusty is the exact opposite of that. Dusty is a quick hook. He's a quick hook. Listen, Zach Greinke doesn't have to feel good about himself. You know what? Well, I want him to feel good about himself after this. You know, he went five innings and he threw 82 pitches. I want him to feel – no, Zach Greinke can feel like crap the next day and come back and pitch 4 days later. So that's really no big deal for Zach Greinke. Dusty is just – he's a quick hook guy. And it's not such a bad thing, though, with Luis Garcia. That dude has pitched the most innings, and you got to have him. It'll be interesting to see the postseason, because you got Lance, you got Fromber, who's turning back into your number one, you got Greinke, you got Lance, and you got Luis Garcia, and I don't know what order they are in right now, but they're all pitching well enough. We got a month to go, over a month to go, So we got time to figure out who's going to be what. But man, Luis Garcia looked great last night. He, any kind of situation he got in, he got out of. I know it's a formidable lineup. Man, this ain't the Yankees lineup. So the Yankees are really, really scary right now. They are a really scary baseball team.
Yeah. Well, this is what we thought they were going to be at the beginning of the year.
That's right.
I mean, the Yankees are finally becoming the Yankees.
But look at you pick up a couple of hitters at the trade deadline, and look at what it's done to these guys. Since then, this team has just been lights out. It is just, even with Rizzo going down, they didn't care. What they saw was that management was not giving up on them. And they're just out of control how good this Yankees team is. I don't know how you beat this team. This is going to be funny. I don't mind at all not being the number one seed. I don't mind that at all because the number one seed gets the wild card, which is Yankees-Red Sox right now, the winner of the Yankees-Red Sox. And we can I would assume, although in one game anybody can win, but if it's Yankees – give me the White Sox all day.
Yeah, I don't want the Yankees. I mean, you know, I don't really want to have to face a red-hot Yankee team. That's not at the front of the list. If Gerrit Cole is healthy, we know Gerrit Cole's been up and down a little bit in the spider tack and all that stuff, but we also saw a really nasty Gerrit Cole against the Astros after all that stuff went down. So, yeah, I'm not in a huge rush to face a fully activated Yankees lineup. That's not at the top of my list at all. That's going to be tough. I think with the Astros, it's been really nice to see. Garcia had a nice start, and it's the Royals. Royals are still a hard team for the Astros to beat, but Fromber's last two starts are extraordinarily encouraging because he's hitting spots and he's not having the issues with control. They've figured something out with him, whether it's mental or whether it's mechanical. They figured something out, and it is a good feeling to have that kind of positive news. To stack positive news for you, Jose Urquidy had a rehab start yesterday. He threw only 49 pitches in four innings. He threw four innings, just 49 pitches, struck out six, and gave up two hits. When you strike out six and you only throw 49 pitches in four innings, that's a pretty good outing. So it was nice to see Urquidy go almost 50 pitches, four innings, gave up two hits, struck out six, so he had some good swing and miss stuff going. Very good sign seeing Jose Urquidy because, you know, it's. I don't think we've had the entire year. The gang hasn't all been together. You've had this guy out, and then Yao Ming was out, and then Tracy McGrady was out, and you couldn't get him, and then Steve Francis was hurt, and then you had James was hurt, and then Kevin Durant, and then Kyrie. You've always had injuries throughout. You haven't been able to get the whole gang together. And now, with Urquidy, depending on how long this rehab stuff lasts, boy, that's an interesting option you're throwing in sometime in September.
Tucker activated yesterday, Bregman late last night, and he's in the lineup today. Bregman in the lineup today for your Houston Astros.
Okay.
Tucker soon. When the band gets back together, Urquidy in the rotation with maybe Odorizzi going to the bullpen, it's going to be something special. Let's take a break because Jimbo is going to be joining us on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 live from the Bright Football Complex, brought to you by Destination Brian. Let's take a break and don't go anywhere. Until right now, though, Lance, what do you need to talk about is Cars for Kids.
Good, because carsforkids.org can help you do something great for a kid. They're working with the Houston Can Academy here in Houston. And so what they do is they help get a kid a second chance at a diploma. And one of the ways they fund that is through collecting your car or SUV or truck or your motorcycle. It doesn't matter whether they're working or not working, whether they're moving or not moving. It doesn't matter. They'll come in, they'll haul it off, and then from there, once they haul it off, they are going to give you a tax write-off. So you get a chance to write off the car and not the kid. This is a great opportunity for you to do something nice without even trying, and you get something hauled off your property that's not even running potentially. Make sure you go to carsforkids.org for more information and to get the ball rolling, carsforkids.org.
This is Jose Altuve, and you're listening to Jung and Lance on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by Gulf Coast Chevrolet with GNC.
This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Texas A&M's Bright Complex. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, presented by Destination Brian. Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 17 past the hour. Jimbo Fisher going to be joining us here shortly on the show. We got a really good show for you. I don't care if you're an Aggie fan or you're not an Aggie fan. And we're talking a lot of football with at one of the premier programs in the country right now. The Aggs have put it together. We were just talking about all the guys from Houston and the recruiting that's going on. I was just talking with Mark Robinson, who is the football ops guy here, Jimbo's right hand. And Houston is just such a hotbed. Such a hotbed. All the preseason guys, all the guys that are, in Houston that are touchdown club guys or in the state, you know, that are the premier guys are all looking. They're all looking at College Station right now. It is a wonderful time for recruiting for the Aggies. They're getting premier kids across the board. So we will talk to Jimbo about that and how what a hotbed Houston is. And we are your home for Aggie football. Right here in Houston, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So we'll, as soon as Jimbo gets here, we will get him on and talk to him. Last night, the Astros win it, which was totally sweet, taking care of that business and getting the win. And we mentioned the Yankees. They are 16-4 since the All-Star break, since the trade deadline. 16-4. So they have turned it on. The Astros at the All-Star break, I was listening to Charlie yesterday. I think the Astros had an 8-game lead over the Yankees, and now they're looking up at them in the standings. Unbelievable.
Isn't that unbelievable?
It is unbelievable how good this Yankee team has gotten. You don't want any piece of that, part of that right now. Questionable calls last night in that game. They're 18-4. Since the trade deadline, so that's 14 games over 500. They're just a good baseball team right now. And the Astros struggling against mediocre competition. But man, you got to get this win today. You got to take care of this. You got to take 2 out of 3 from this team. You've already got a losing record against them for the season. Take care of this business and watch with Alex Bregman back in the lineup. Hopefully it won't take long. Usually a slow starter. Hopefully he's going to be able to not be a slow starter in his return to the lineup. Otherwise, last night, what did you think about the Alliance? I mean, a 3-hour press conference that really said nothing. It's not like they've signed any contracts. They don't have any scheduling. They disagree on the playoff. 2 out of 3 teams, two of the conferences said, yeah, we're 4-12 team, but the other one didn't. It's not like, what do you think was accomplished with this?
Well, so, you know, actually, I want Aaron to pull up some of the Brett McHenry sound from yesterday. He was on the Wheelhouse, and he had some, McMurphy, not McHenry. That's
Brett McHenry.
Yeah, Brett McMurphy.
She doesn't like tow trucks.
Yeah, no, she doesn't. None of us really do.
No, I was. I was on her side of this one.
She acted a little ugly.
I know, but
her
you
car
know what?
Got towed. But yeah, but Brett McMurphy was on yesterday on the Wheelhouse, and he made. And you could really, it's funny. You could pull out. I don't even care which one you pull out. You can just play whatever one you want because he was. Here's Brett McMurphy. College football writer talking about this this decision to align because he was kind of I'm gonna say he was beyond negative about it. He was kind of dismissive of how the whole thing came about. Here's Brett McMurphy on the Wheelhouse yesterday.
I think a lot of times you learn more what people don't say, and basically what they're not saying is, well, the SEC added Oklahoma and Texas, and so we've got to respond and come together as a group to give the perception that we're in this together and we're kumbaya and all that. But I hate to be so cynical, but I'm just being honest. If OU and Texas would have gone to any of those conferences and knocked on their door, they would have said, absolutely, we'll take you.
He's basically right. Like right now, and it echoes what you talked about, is that the SEC has made a move, and now everyone is worried about their own piece of the pie, because the pie is big out there, but you don't want to get squeezed out. Big 12 is getting squeezed out of this pie. There's just no doubt about it. Those teams are screwed. And what you're seeing now is these other conferences, because they're trying to form whatever type of shaky alliance, there's not even a framework worked out. There's nothing that's even worked out here, as you mentioned. It's clearly something that is being rushed and pushed together to protect, for everyone to protect their own property, basically, and protect their own standing in what has been the Power Five. So you have three conferences saying, hey, let's all get together and form an alliance. Okay, well, what is your alliance? What are you doing? What's the framework? Can we see the outline of how you are going to operate? Well, we'll get to that later. But just know that there's an alliance here. So you're basically just trying to draw your weaponry together just to make sure that you see that you're one of the big dogs. We know you're all the big dogs, but, you know, somewhere along the line, Pac-12 has to say, we haven't been football factors for a while as a conference. We need to make sure that we're latched up with somebody, because let's face it, once you hit Texas and you go straight north and then you go straight east, what difference does football make west of that? Who's playing football on a regular basis? I know Oregon's had their moments, and Utah's always a nice little program or whatever. BYU carry, blah, blah, blah. What's the major factor in football once you get west of Texas? Anything?
No.
You're hitting Oklahoma north of there,
you,
already
you
gone?
Oregon is probably the best that over the last couple of decades. Oregon has been a factor.
Yeah.
USC and USC has just gone by the wayside. Nothing.
UCLA is a nothing. Nothing. USC's been there haven't been much. I mean, the Pac-12 has to be really nervous, except for the fact that I would say they shouldn't be, because there's no way major college football is going to lose the entire West Coast. They're not, no matter how mediocre it is. But I think all these conferences basically are just very nervous about, well, what will this mean for our conference?
So I want to know, if Ohio State and Penn State both said, you know what, we're going to the SEC, what does this alliance do? Honestly.
I don't know. I don't think it has any.
None of these, especially the Big Ten commissioner, he's got zero power over individual schools.
To me, it's not about, I wouldn't go join the SEC. I think there's a second major conference that could be formed based on the strength of the SEC. Strength of the Big Ten. The power schools, I think it's with the ACC. I think you add some of the ACC power schools. You really recruit the ACC if you wanted to, if you're worried about this. That, to me, is your best hope, is to really to create a super conference of Big Ten and ACC. And remember, it's not all football. You have to be a little bit more broad. Basketball is a factor, so you need to think about basketball too. There's going to be some schools that are factors in basketball more so than football. But I absolutely think, I don't think everything has to be, why go, SEC's already powerful. Why not create another big conference?
Because I want to be a hog. The SEC was already a hog and taking the two best Big 12 schools.
Yeah, but why not create another quote unquote SEC? Just create another conference like that.
You can combine any teams from those three conferences and they won't be the SEC.
Not right now. No. But in the future it could be.
Could be, maybe.
We never know. But I just know that Ohio State's always in the mix. So is Notre Dame. Ohio State, Notre Dame, Clemson, really? Those teams are always in college football playoffs.
Unless Ohio State and Clemson and Penn State and Notre Dame all say, you know what? The SEC is our division.
But what if they don't?
The SEC is the division.
But what if they don't? That's what I'm saying. You say there's no way they can match up, but it's really just been Georgia and Alabama and just a smattering of LSU here or there. It's really been Alabama. Mm-hmm. It's really been Alabama. So when you add all those other teams, I think you got something.
All right, let's take a quick break. Coach Fisher is going to join us on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But first, let's talk a little bit about your patio.
Texas Custom Patios, building great patios for you. They do a phenomenal job. Stephen Schell and his entire crew. You know, they're in Houston. They're in Dallas. And soon they're going to be moving to Austin next year, and they're going to start building some of these patios. They build onto your existing home, and it looks like it was built there from day one. They can build freestanding. So if you want to do a pool house or just a freestanding area, they can do that for you. They can do enclosures. They do unbelievable kitchen areas. is. I mean, go look at my – and mine is relatively basic. Go look at tcplance.com, tcplance.com, and you can see the before and after of what they did in my backyard. It's really pretty astonishing what they're able to do. I never thought they would be able to do that, and yet that's what they do for houses on a regular basis. They turn your house into a home. You spend your money on that patio from Texas Custom Patios. They'll finance it for you, and you're going to have that money coming back to you when it comes time to sell your home. It truly adds incredible value. It's a lot of fun for you, your family, and when you want to entertain as well. Go to TexasCustomPatios.com.
This is Heisman Trophy winner,
all right, cut back on the
Billy Sims, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Texas A&M's Bright Complex. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, presented by Destination Brian. Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back to the Bright Football Complex. Joining us right now, Coach Jimbo Fisher on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, your home for Aggie football in Houston. Coach, welcome to the show. How are you?
Great to be with you guys.
All right, before we get to football, all right, tell us about Safari.
Huh.
What is, okay.
I can't tell you because you don't believe me.
So what was there any point where you were actually, there was some a fear factor?
Oh, definitely.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah, quite a few times.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Like what? From what?
Lion, cape.
How close were you?
15 yards.
Ooh, no way.
That's close.
No
kidding. There was some on the trip that had them closer.
No kidding.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to explain because, I mean, it's almost mystical because you don't ever think you're going to see those animals or whatever, you know what I'm saying, when you're there. And just the beauty of it, the Africa is just different. I mean, it really is. The beauty of just going to see and never knowing when you pull around the corner what you're going to see. I mean, you know, I actually saw a pride take down a warthog in life. I mean, right within less than 70 yards of you. I mean, when you drove up and it was happening. I mean, just things that, and, you know, but animals are majestic, man. Just so many of them and so many things and the beauty of the whole land and the animal. It's just, it's a trip that you definitely should take. There's no doubt.
I'm kind of curious if you, you know, you spend all that time football, and when you get out of it and you kind of you take it all in, and I think as you get older and you start to compartmentalize your life and then you start to bring it back together, did that when you went to do something like this, and I mean this seriously, did you kind of take something, did you see things that you just kind of incorporated into your life as you see something you'd never seen before?
Oh, no doubt.
Did it have an impact on you?
No doubt. I mean, and it's just amazing. I mean – and you talk about competition, think about everything that wakes up in the morning. Well, don't say wake up, all night because of the lions and leopards and everything. You're talking about the hunters and the hunted.
That's it.
You know what I'm saying? But then the battles within each of those groups for supremacy. I mean, it's basically competition. I mean, each and every day to be the top female in your whatever animal you were, with the top male and whatever animal you were. Then to fight off the outside forces and the things that go on. It's life.
I know it's not lost on you, but obviously every pride has an alpha and it kind of develops. Mm-hmm. In every locker room, you deal with this. I mean, you got your own pride out there. Your units, you have a multitude of prides. Your O-line, your D-line, your linebacker. Yeah. And inside every one of those, is there an alpha inside every one of those?
Yes.
Or is it there one or two on defense? You know
well,
what I mean?
Sometimes, unless you have such a young group, but most of the time, yes, there is an alpha within it that leads that group and sets that group and sets a tone for that group. But sometimes there may be two.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, and where you're at. And you got to have those. That's the leadership, the guys that can set the tone of how the standard, I call the standard of what we're going to do, how we're going to do it, and hold people to the standard. Then you have the unit, you know, you have your position groups, then you have your segments, and then you have your team. See, and that's the other part, because the worst thing can happen, and it this drives me crazy, which we haven't done it here, and we won't. You get an offense-defensive war. Well, last time I looked, the scoreboard talks about both of us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you got to play to each other. You got to be complimentary of each other, how you play the game, what makes both groups successful. And then you have your team concept. And I think that's where, you know, offense, defense, special teams, and even special teams. I mean, you know, taking pride in those things, that's 1/3 of your snaps. And, you know, understanding each little pegging order, but then collectively how that collects to a group. And then those alpha dogs take over and set the tone and the standard and the – rules of how we're going to do things, the class we're going to do things with, and everything else.
Jimbo Fisher with us here on ESPN 97.5, 92.5, your home for Aggie football in Houston. And you're probably sick of this question, but everybody probably asks it of you. You got all this talent. You're a top 8, 7 team, a 6 team in the country. Mm-hmm. But it all starts with quarterback.
It does.
And so, and you got a guy that's all the inexperience that you got right now. How's Haynes played?
Played great. We talked to him yesterday, and right now Haynes will be a starter. And Zach will be the backup right now. But like we had a great talk yesterday, I feel very comfortable with both guys. I think both guys can win and play well. I think both guys had an outstanding camp. And just the criteria of how we went through things. And we had a really good conversation about, yes, that's how we'll go into this going into this first game, as we say. But like I say, those things are ever-changing. I mean, you don't want them to change, but at the same time, you know, competition and guys get better and how they play, and also the roles and what may be needed for each game.
Haynes went with his athleticism?
No, Haynes went with his – listen, athleticism is the last thing on my list. You play quarterback, you win from the pocket. Decision-making and accuracy. Athleticism is a bonus. Right. If that gets added into what you do, that's a bonus. If you can't win from the pocket, and you look at every NFL team, you look at any great team in the business out there.
You've not changed philosophically on that either.
Not going to.
Yeah.
Last time I looked, a guy named Tom Brady won the championship.
That's a different guy now.
I mean, that's where it starts. I mean, where's that? I mean, Mahomes is an athlete. Mahomes is a guy who can run around but wins from the pocket. When he had to start running around last year, they lost.
Kellen Mond didn't get drafted where he did because of his what he did with his feet in college. He did it because of the improvements he made in the pocket.
Yeah. The game is won inside out. And mm-hmm. what I mean by that, you got to stay inside, and then those are bonuses that add to you and what you do. And Haynes did it because I think the consistency with throwing the ball down the field, making reads, making checks, the multiplicity of things which we do. And then when you add the ability to scramble and create plays and lengthen plays, that only enhances that. But here's the thing. Zach does that too. Zach is a much better athlete because you get so caught up. It's like when you see somebody do something, one quality jumps at you because his arm is so strong. But then as you're around, he's running and makes plays. He can move in the pocket and make plays. He can scramble. He made two throws yesterday going left and threw back to the right, but, not drastically, but just the way he could contort his body. But he escaped the pressure going this way, and the athleticism to be able to do that is remarkable. So, those things for me are still going to be decision-making and accuracy, winning from the pocket, and then those are the added bonuses around.
People are just reading a magazine who are looking, and just the general college football fan, they're going to look at you and they're going to say, John and I have done this on the radio. You look at Texas A&M and you say, okay, well, they had a Joe Moore Award finalist line. Really worked great together, ran the ball great. Before, those starters are gone. The starting quarterback, he was a 4-year starter, and he's gone. On the surface, you see, wow, no offensive line left except one. He's a pretty good one, too. And no starting quarterback. Well, how are the Aggies? Well, how are they put inside the top 10? I mean, they don't have the experience. You say that offensive line may not be – that talent's not going to be a problem up
No,
there.
Talent's not our problem. I mean, we're probably – and I don't mean as more talented, with the guys we have. Now, experience is a different thing, and that playing offensive line. Their cohesiveness, their ability to adjust. But, you take two guys out. Sometimes – and I know this sounds crazy. It's easier to plug four than it is two sometimes.
Yeah.
Because you get three of them in there that have done it, and there's two, there's such a drastic a difference in the standard mm-hmm. within. I've had that happen. And then have 4-1, you kind of can bring all four along at the same pace, where the others, sometimes those varsity guys, as I say, the experienced guys, they're more experienced and want to do more, wanting to do things, and they can't because of that. And sometimes it can cause frustration in there. Mm-hmm. When you do four, listen, they all got to go at a certain pace.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say this, the physicality of guys today coming out of school or early in their careers as redshirt sophomores or freshmen or true freshmen, they didn't make many guys like this back in the day. I mean, I think the advancements of workouts and the how much guys work out, their strength, their size, their guys are much more ready to play. Now, that position is one of the hardest, I think it's the hardest right. to make the transition to. But, there's some young guys in this town. And then you had guys that played. I mean, Kenyon, of course, is there. But Layden Robinson has been around here a couple of years. He just played behind some really experienced, really good guys.
Yeah, he is experienced.
Who's playing well in what he does. I mean, Luke Matthews has been around doing what he does. And then the other guys, that the youthful guys coming in, and it's a solid group and had a really good camp, have had a really good camp.
Jimbo Fisher with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. How do you got Achane, you got Smith, you got Spiller. Man, you got – coach, it's a You got a wealth, a treasure back there in that backfield.
Well,
this
you
year.
Do. And that's like he said. All right, you lose a lineman and you lose a quarterback, but all the significant catches you had are all back at receiver. I mean, you know, Anais is playing in the slot, and with the multiplicity of things we can do with him, you get Chapman back, who's going to be able to play. I mean, you get Hez Jones in there. Chase Lane has taken tons of steps. Chase can run and make plays, and what he does, Demas is now – he's back to practicing with us now because he got hurt, but Demas is a very talented guy. You got Moose Muhammad, who I think is really in the last week or so in this camp has really started to come on and really play with the consistency in which he has. You got Yulkeith Brown, who's a young freshman who I'm very high on, and things that he does and how they're playing and the roles that they have right there. Jalen Preston has been around a long time. Then you get the tight end, and you go to the tight end group. I mean, Jalen Wiedemeyer, phenomenal player, man. And then you get Baylor Cup back.
Everyone's talked about Cup. You raved about Cup. Everyone's raved about Cup, but he's had the injury issues. Is he ready?
Yeah, I mean, and the thing, he's got to get back to playing ball.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been banged up and really hadn't played for a year or two. But the talent-wise, his ability to block, run, catch, he's a big body, can run. I mean, really run and do things. And ready for him to start playing.
Do you envision going to a lot of 12 personnel Could. Groups, I mean, with having cutback?
Just depends. Just
12
depends
is
on
the,
what the matchups and
too
what
tight
we do.
End, yeah.
And with those guys' ability to catch the ball, I mean, you can go from empty to – and take and go from – we can be in 11 personnel and go from
– You can mismatch.
And two tight end mismatch. You can do more in those personnel than you can in all the wideouts.
So
people don't understand that.
We learned that under watching Gary Kubiak, and now Kyle Shanahan, you see, has done it. But watching Gary Kubiak's offense with Houston, I thought – You know, he had three tight end groups. When he went three tight end, he was throwing the football. Like, and it was going to, and he might take a shot deep. And it was amazing to watch a coach use the 12 and the 13 personnel groups and be so dynamic with multiple tight end sets. And what I began to realize, and just watching all the games unfold, is that he basically was creating – he was forcing you to match up with his two tight end
exactly
personnel.
Right.
And then you got mismatches if you got athletic tight ends.
If you're going to play nickel, you get the ball ran. Like,
you're
our best short
right
yardage
out, yeah.
formation last year was 11. And then the other added thing, we have two. Most people have tight ends to do it. You got a Nia Smith who can go from receiver to a true back who can block you and is a true tailback.
Wow, that's a great
our best short yardage situations last year came from 11 when we put Nia to the backfield and got in two back when they're in nickel.
Uh-huh.
Now the nickel's got to play the tight end. Now the backer's got to play a Nia, and you can force those matchups back and forth, and then you do it with tight ends. You can be more creative with tight ends and backs than you can actually with receivers when you get down to as far as creativity and creating more mismatches in what you do.
Jimbo,
when your tight ends can go inside or outside.
Jimbo Fisher here on ESPN 97.5. Kent State, Colorado, New Mexico, that's your start to this football season. It ain't Clemson and Alabama in the first 4 weeks when you got five seniors, mm-hmm. right? I mean, so is this a better I don't want to say it any easier. I'm not saying that. But is this going to? This is a good way for you to get into a football season,
well,
much
mean,
better than playing Clemson in week two, no?
I know it looks like it on paper. I don't feel like that. I know that. As a coach, listen, I mean, you know, you say all those things, but you got to go play well and do well. And I think that's where the experience of our team, hopefully. And one other person I want to speak about before we got in, I think had as good a camp as anybody on our football team was Isaiah Spiller. We're talking about those other guys. Spiller had as good a camp as anybody. This guy is playing his tail off right now. So excited about him.
He's got a chance to be a first-team All-American.
The guy's special now. He really is. But that whole group is a really good team. But at the same time, hopefully we can play well. We need to. No matter who you play, you got to go play well. And everybody says that. But I know this. I watch film, and, you know, you see everything. As a coach, you always see everything that can go wrong. And you know your own guys so well. But, you know, hopefully we can play well and get out of the blocks and get confidence in this young group. And, you know, like I always say, everything, you never know what a guy's going to do until the numbers on the scoreboard are lit up and it's for real. They talk about the fans. I always say the numbers on the scoreboard. Can practice, DBs are the same way. You don't put numbers on the scoreboard, they squat, grab. You put numbers on a scoreboard, they matter, they back up. They always do. I mean, it's just the way it is. But you know, we got a challenging schedule early, and of course, they're being in this league. So hopefully we need to play well early, get some chemistry, identify our guys, and then play well down the stretch.
I saw a guy last – when I was watching tape, a guy that I thought was coming out last year, so I was watching him for the draft, and he went back in, and, boy, I think he's talented now. It's Hansford, your linebacker. Whoo, I really like him a lot.
Unsung guy that people don't talk about a lot that I think is a big part of him coming back was huge.
I think it's huge because he's a really good tackler. Like there's so many tacklers in college football. He is a great athlete. Well, he used to be a wide receiver.
It was like a hybrid tight end receiver back, okay. One of those guys. Then he learned to play on defense, and he was an edge guy. Really good pass rusher.
Yeah.
Has pass rush abilities, like a DPR guy. But then, you know this, playing behind the ball at linebacker, that's a different animal. Yeah. It really is. That's one of the hardest transitions.
Isaiah Simmons is trying to learn that coming from Clemson. Everyone thought, and they found out, it takes time.
Let me tell you something, man. When you're inside and you're at a four-way traffic stop, when you're on the edge and being athletic, athleticism, size matter. Inside, you're getting stuff coming at you everywhere. Mm-hmm. His one of the smartest moves I've seen, even though he was a drafted guy, the ability to go back and learn that position and truly learn it, I think his value and the value he's going to create for himself mm-hmm. is going to go through the roof.
Because he's a good-sized kid,
too. Oh, I mean, he's 240, 45 pounds.
Ooh, that's real linebacker
That can run. I mean, can run. Miles Jones is another one. Peavy's another one. Clemens is another one. All these guys on defense that really came back, I think all made tremendously intelligent decisions for what they're doing to be able to come back.
Especially when you look at what's happening with linebackers in the pros.
If you can run
and you're big, you don't see that much. I thought he was like, I looked at it and I thought, boy, if this kid gets out of the third, it'll be a miracle because he's talented. And then when he went back in, all I could think of was he's got a chance to be a top 45 player
the draft. The linebackers now, because of the way the game is being played, especially in high school, there's very few of them. Now, there's some really good ones. But not a lot of guys take their best players and don't play them behind the ball. They put them on the edge and rush passer because guys are throwing it and spreading it in high school so much they try to create pressure. So the old traditional linebacker who learns to play behind the ball, there's not as many. And the pro guys, we're hearing it from our guys too. I mean, because you're always in nickel. You're always in dime.
Right.
Can the guy play in space? That's the question we get all the time. All right, he's big and strong, but can he play in space? Can he cover a tight end? Well, then, can they, like we were just talking about, if they put a back on him and match him up and force him to cover, how does he do it? But then, can he play the run? Mm-hmm. I mean, think about what's required from a true backer in today with tight ends, running backs, and then the physicality of go block. And then linemen ain't 300 anymore. They're 320, 330, 340. That takes a heck of a combination of a person to be able to play all those roles.
We'll let you go. We know you got work to do. But
let's
before
keep talking.
You go,
I enjoyed this.
Let's
man.
Keep talking football. What are we doing?
Well, before you go,
it's hot outside.
We're gonna have. We're working on getting Kenyon Green in here. Isaiah Spiller. We're working on Anaya Smith. We're working on Chase Lane. You got Weidermeyer. They're all from Houston area. What? Talk about Houston Station. Talk about what Houston means.
I joke about that every day. We start having mess ups. I said, "Dadgum Houston education." They're all on offense. I said that the other day. I started going down through it, man. Houston. I said, "Lord Almighty, that is." I mean, in Houston, such a phenomenal city. I mean, the ball there, the coaching there, the importance of ball, and the kids. I mean, they're all great kids. They're very competitive. They've been coached well. I mean, it's been a tremendous city for us. I mean, it always has in this whole state. I mean, we got to fight our Dallases, and we got to get all those areas too. But Houston has been a main hub for us, and will continue to be. And you can't. There's just so many people, but there's so many players. I mean, there really are, and we don't want them to leave. We're trying to keep them here and right here at A&M and do the things we need to do.
I forget which coach, maybe it was Barry Switzer, said, give me Houston, and you can take the rest of the country, and I'll win a national championship.
Oh, he didn't say Texas, he said Houston?
Houston.
Yeah, he did. He said, give me one city in the country. It was. If he could pick one, he would take Houston and build a fence around it and keep it. I mean,
and I'll win a national championship. Yep. Coach, we appreciate it, man. Best of luck. Congratulations on the success, and we're looking forward to a great season again.
Man, great to be with you guys. Thank you.
There's Jimbo Fisher. He joins us, I believe, every Tuesday. That's what we've been doing. Right, Coach? We've been doing Tuesdays.
Tuesdays, easy days.
Yes, sir.
There's nothing going on Tuesdays. It's easy for Coach.
Yeah, it's easy.
It's install, big deal.
We'll keep doing that early, 7:15-ish, like we've been doing with Jimbo Fisher every week right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, your home for the Ags. I want to talk right now about my bookie. Listen, I'm sorry, but this is where you put your money now. Who do you like? You like somebody to win the national championship? You like somebody to get into the college football playoff? I know where you can bet it. You can bet it at mybookie.ag, promo code bet975. You got all the college football, NFL. You got an NFL lock of the season. You got over $500,000 in contest prizes on mybookie right now. 18-week NFL schedule, more action than ever before. You need a sportsbook casino that's reliable. You won't find a better place. They pay on time. You're not pulling teeth to get your money out. And when you sign up your first time, they will double your initial deposit. So you put in $1,000, you've got $2,000 to play with. No bookie does that. They do it at mybookie.ag, bet975. You're looking for a place to play. You know you love football. You want to put some money on it. Mybookie.ag, bet975.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
Live from Texas A&M's Bright Complex for a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, this is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, presented by Destination Brian. Now here's the kings of Houston sports radio, John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Little did we know at the time. Well, we did know. Actually, I was like, hey, I hadn't heard this anywhere before. One of the first things Jimbo told us was they named yesterday, they told Haynes King that he's their starting quarterback. And that is not something that the public was aware of until he said that right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So awesome stuff right here. And that's kind of national news because this is a top 5-6 team in the country.
Yeah.
And here they are with the uncertainty of the, you know, this is coaches like to play close to the vest. It's not like anybody knows anything about.
Well, I figured that it must have been out with him to say we told the team that he just said we said yesterday that Haynes King was starting quarterback. I mean,
we told him.
We told, okay, because I thought, oh, it must be a. I was wondering if that was the first time because no one knew.
No.
And I figured, oh, he must have mentioned this yesterday in a press conference or something like that. I didn't realize we had the breaking story there. And it's kind of a big deal because, it is going to be the new starter for a team that's had a four-year starter. But when you look at – he is a talented player. Haynes King is a talented player. But, boy, Jimbo, just talking to him off the air as well, he is really excited about the talent he has on the offensive line.
So
really excited.
So he said it's the best group he's ever had.
Yeah, he said he's got one of the players up front might be the best he's ever had.
And a freshman.
Mm-hmm.
How about this?
Yeah.
How about this?
He's very, very excited. And the thing is, there is a period where you got to come together. But it's a good thing for the Aggies because you got a sustainable line to build around over the next 2 to 3 years. And you got a lot of running. I mean, they're going to run the ball well again this year. They got some guys. I mean, and that's the thing. In Alabama, we never worry about who's up next, right? You always think, well, it doesn't matter who. We've learned that whoever Alabama loses, there's somebody coming up next. Whoever LSU loses at wide receivers, new wide receivers come. You know, certain teams have certain positions. Alabama's the one team that no matter who they lose, there's somebody behind them that's really good. Well, now Jimbo's starting to – maybe he's getting in that position where he's got – well, he loses four starters on offensive line, and then he's just shoveling big-time players right after him that are even better than the last guys. We never assume that the guy coming up is better than the last guy, but – in many cases in football, that does happen in college football. So,
well, and if I'm one of these, redshirt sophomores, they're laden with them. They got redshirt freshmen. They're like, oh, look at this freshman coming in here. And Jimbo's telling him, this might be the best guy I've ever had. Holy crap, that's some talent now. And he's from Taylor. Came from Taylor. So,
yep.
This is an exciting time for the Aggs. And sorry, Luch. Yeah, Luch. Nuno Tyson. Hey, congrats on the scoop you guys just had.
Well, I just tweeted Texas A&M head coach Jimbo Fisher announced on our show Haynes King will be the starting quarterback. Quincy Avery, Deshaun Watson's quarterback and a guy quarterback coach and a guy who works with, Trey Lance and Justin Fields and a lot of high school kids. He just said he's very talented is what Quincy Avery just retweeted. So Quincy's a big fan of his and obviously knows his talent as well.
Our guy Jeremy Branham had the tweet sent probably 2 seconds after it went through the delay and he heard it on the air.
Oh, is that right?
And then, of course, Nuno called me and said, hey, can you send me that audio? We'll give you guys credit. Said, yeah, sure. So now it's going out everywhere. And we're about to tweet it out, too.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
Well, and what's going on at Camp Casario? Do we have any insight in the – can we get some breaking news about like, did they cut an eighth off a defensive lineman at Camp Casario? What's the big breaking news there? Did anyone break anything on Oh, Kadar Holman, they traded a seventh rounder to Green Bay for him. Breaking news.
That is breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news. David Johnson had a carry in practice.
Breaking news.
He actually touched the football in practice. He didn't go anywhere. But
right now, I really think the Texans are like, oh, sure, it's just a way we didn't have to have David. You know, my dad loves David Johnson. So he's a great guy. He's just like, I said, did you watch any of the Texans? He said, yeah. He said he just doesn't have, he just doesn't look like he's.
We don't have the juice left.
Just doesn't have the juice. Yeah. Just doesn't hit it like he did before. He says, a great, great person. Great person.
But yeah.
Great persons don't run for thousands
of
yards
that is?
Necessarily.
You know what that is?
Yeah.
That's like at 2 in the morning. Yeah, but she's a great person.
Yeah.
She's got a great personality.
But David Johnson's got a great personality.
Yeah.
No, he's like a little brother to me. You're more like a little brother, David Johnson. You're like my – you know what? I just want to put David Johnson in a friend zone, not in my running back zone.
Friend zone.
He needs to
be – I love that guy.
Oh, he'd be a great Texans ambassador. Texans ambassador, right? Can you be a Texans ambassador after a one-year only?
Do you think he's going to be at the games in that blue jacket walking around in
the blazer
in the suite?
This year he is.
This year.
Hey, guys. Yeah.
I'm not active this week. I'm just going to be an ambassador.
How about this?
Hey, we got something for you, David.
Maybe you're going to have him on an HEB commercial with Scott McClellan. Like, hey, what are you doing here? I'm not getting any carries. What's up, Scott? Let's go to the tailgates. And they'll go out to the tailgates. It's him, Whitney Merciless, and Scott McClellan. Like, hey, you recognize these guys? They used to be starters. Now they're just out here with you guys at the tailgates with some bacon wrap poppers. And maybe some chicken shoots, whatever, whatever neat little things they've got out there.
Yeah.
Everything's going to be a popper or a shoot.
Yeah. And Nick Collins is trying to look over the fence. Hey, I used to be I used to shop at HEB.
Here's Papa John's guy, that Keith guy, like, we want to welcome into Papa John's a brand new guy, not just Whitney Merciless. Now we're on the other side. We got David Johnson here helping us make pizzas as well. And David's like, hey, maybe there's a 3-minute commercial coming up for David Johnson this week instead of Whitney. Did you see the long-form Whitney Merciless commercial?
It was. I don't know what they paid for that, or if it's just, you know what? If you guys stay, we'll give you an eight. We'll give you a John Clay Wolf commercial.
Yeah.
Okay.
We don't know. We just don't know. We don't know if we want to keep spending our advertising money on the Texans and everything that's
happening. How
about this? Hold on.
A mini series.
Let me tell you, because we got a guy in charge of sales right here standing next to us. And Todd, that's what you want to hang on to somebody? Like, listen, we'll give you a 4-minute commercial. All right? We're going to do our own little mini doc. We'll do Whitney Merciless.
Yeah.
All right, Whitney will be making pizzas.
And I promise we won't ever mention the racist that used to run you. I promise.
Hey, don't put him on me. Keith is like, hey. Everyone wanted to separate real quick from that
guy. Hey, at 7:58, Ross Bjork is going to join us here, hopefully, on the other side. Is he? You think he's here? Oh, he's here. Oh, good. Ross Bjork's going to join us here on the other side, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I got to talk about HRP, HRP.net. When you've got a big business, or even if you're a 15-person company to 25, we had 25 people in our company, and we were with another payroll company. We grew to 75. Well, that payroll company, and we were like, hey, so now we got, when you buy more in bulk, you should get a better price, right? Well, they said, no, that's our price. And we were like, no, we're going to go find somebody else. Who we found was HRP, and HRP customized a plan just for us because every business is different. No, it's not cookie cutter, this is what you pay, this is what no, that's not how it works. You got a bigger business, hey, we're going to give you a better price. That's what happens every single day. And if your business grows, they grow with you. And the HR, you do not want to be handling HR, especially if you've got a bigger company. And if you're not completely satisfied with your payroll and HR company, then go with ours because we can't be more satisfied. If you want to hear about it, call Laura Beavers up at the station. But if you want to find out about it, go to HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.